You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hello and welcome to the On The Money podcast. It's Tuesday, the 2nd of December. I'm Stephanie Youssef, filling in for Ricardo Gonçalves. Today, the ASX 200 closed 0.17% higher at 8,579.7. Despite that, 6 of the 11 sectors closed lower, led by information technology. Strong rallies by energy and mining stocks lifted the index, as attention now turns to tomorrow's GDP figures. For more, I spoke with Mark Gardner, CEO of MPC Markets.
We got a fairly quiet session coming off the back of a Thanksgiving shortened week last week. There's not really much driving markets, particularly from the US necessarily. We got some figures coming up later in the week there, and the Fed's on blackout until their meeting on the 11th. But what we do have Japanese bond yields heading to sort of multi-decade highs, and I think Australian government, 10-year government bonds as well, and short-end government bonds here are also hitting 12-month highs. So that obviously means the cost of money's heading in the wrong direction for equity markets, which is keeping any sort of upside subdued. And overall, it's a little bit of a worrying trend. It saw the Nikkei drop about 2% yesterday. We haven't seen a move been reflected in the US because there is a bit of a groundswell that they're expecting 25 basis point cut next week. Although I think that might be under consideration, where they've got inflation numbers on Friday, but also that was a 20% chance of a move only 2 weeks ago, and it was really only a speech from one or two people on the Fed board that pushed that up in a very quiet and Thanksgiving week or holiday week, where we often see big moves. So it's not the most exciting of topics. It's not like AI or anything like that, but the cost of money in those government bond yields, particularly in the long end of the market in the 10 years, really does affect the cost of funding, and we'll put a throw a bit of a wet blanket over the equity market.
So attention now turns to tomorrow's GDP figures. What are the market expectations there, especially when it comes to the RBA's decision next week and ANZ becoming the latest bank to remove its call for one final rate cut next year?
I don't think the GDP numbers are going to have a massive effect. The RBA has really outlined the fact that they're concerned about inflation. It is outside the target band, even on the trim mean, which is their preferred inflation gauge. So unless this number is particularly strong, I don't think it'll affect markets. If it is particularly strong, I think you'll see more and more banks follow ANZ in saying that it's one and done, as they've been saying, because a show of economic strength, the unemployment rate where it is at the moment, coupled with inflation, you can't be easing rates, because it's just a recipe for further inflation down the line. So, but a weak number may put potentially one cut back on the table. We'll just have to wait and see. But we're not expecting anything much from, I think, minus 0.1 from net exports. And it'll mainly be domestic demand. And we have seen a fairly resilient consumer. And so who knows? I mean, we could get a strong number tomorrow. But I think if it's the only way we're going to get a market reaction out of it is if it's significantly weak, and I don't expect that happening.
Bitcoin has been on the decline. It continues to fall amid what some called a crypto crash overnight. What was behind that, and do you think a deeper crash could be ahead?
Overall, I mean, crypto's volatility is significantly less than what it's been in the last decade, in this last move. There's a lot of concerns around MicroStrategy, which is now called Strategy in the US, which is a company that accumulates Bitcoin, and they capital raise and buy more Bitcoin, being one of the largest index providers. MSCI, MSCI, is moving to exclude them from being included in indexes, or stock indexes particularly. And that removes them from the passive flow for 401ks or superannuation here in Australia, etc. So it does take a passive bid out of Bitcoin. Realistically, I would expect overall that, we may have a sharp move to the downside at some stage, but I don't think it'll be like the moves of 2020 where, we saw Bitcoin down 70%. And President Trump as well is a massive fan of crypto, and Bitcoin has been on the record saying that a number of times. And just like around that early April period, where he went out on Truth Social and said the equity market was a buy, which triggered the massive rally that we've had over the last sort of 6 or 7 months. I would be fairly wary of if there was a crypto crash that you would see something similar. He's got over 10% of his assets now and isn't afraid to act in self-interest in terms of the in terms of policy or at minimum, big calls on social media like that. So we're recommending to clients who are interested in crypto and Bitcoin in particular to be dollar cost averaging. So which means they're just buying little bits and pieces over time and buying the dip for the longer term. What we think is probably fairly bullish longer term, as the US dollar continues to erode its value through that increased debt. So it's sort of, as it's been called, digital gold. It acts in the same way as a hedge against their central banks like the US that have just kept on printing money over time.
Is there any company news catching your attention today?
There's nothing really on the company front. I mean, we had small news from Collins Food Group. I think Macquarie Telecom announced a data center opening as well, but I mean, very small in terms of corporate news, I've got to say. Overall, I mean, particularly being a mining, index, whereas we are here in Australia, we've got our eyes on gold and silver, particularly after silver's rallied to 50 over $58 last night. That was a fresh record high, up around about 15% for the week overall, up 80 to 85% for the year so far. Very much outpacing gold now, and there's sort of rumors floating around that there's what's called a short squeeze, where essentially people are taking delivery of futures contracts, and the people who are delivering them don't have the actual physical silver to deliver, and that usually causes quite large spikes in commodity prices sometimes. So we saw it in nickel back in 2022. I mean, there's a litany of other examples over the course of time. But when we've had silver rallies in the past, 2008 to 2011 was about a 400% rally. Back in 1979-80 was about a 700% rally. We're only really in the early stages of this potentially, and so we're looking at miners like Andean Silver and Broken Hill Mines.
And finally, what are you telling your clients at the moment, and where are the opportunities for investors?
Opportunities, obviously, I just covered silver there. We're still looking into 2026. Very happy with those gold, silver, platinum, and those precious metals. We think that will continue, but possibly more so in silver and platinum rather than gold. But realistically, we're telling clients to be being, after a very good 3-year rally, one of the best rallies in US indices since the mid 90s. We're pushing people back to cash, and because we are massive believers in the AI thematic, although we just see trouble ahead, and we want to have that cash available to, potentially buy a dip in those AI themed stocks, as well as not just the big Mag 7 players like Microsoft and Google and Nvidia, etc., but the ones that are involved in the rapid expansion of data centers, which Australia could benefit from via copper and resources and things, and uranium and power demands. So, yeah, we could be looking at another government shutdown in the US in late January. They only really just pushed that along. Got rising global bond yields, which is gonna slow things down for equity markets as well. And we've got overly optimistic rate cut expectations, I think, in the US. So overall, we're very cautious at these levels, and we're telling clients to maybe take some money off the table and be patient and wait for other opportunities in the coming months.
That was Mark Gardner from MPC Markets. That's all for today. Thank you for joining me.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.